Hello, I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for April 27th, 2016. In this show, I'll be speaking with Jurian Dean about his group's development of peptide-coated beads that bind to sperm and could be used for treating infertility or for contraception. Before a sperm cell can fertilize an egg, it first has to bind to an extracellular protein matrix known as the zona pellucida, which surrounds the egg. One of the proteins in this matrix is called ZP2. Dean's group has found that sperm bind to agarose beads that have been coated with a small piece of ZP2, and these beads can effectively act as a decoy to prevent sperm from binding to and fertilizing eggs in mice. In vitro, sperm binding to the beads is reversible, so it's also possible that these beads could be used in the treatment of infertility, to select sperm that are best able to bind to and penetrate the outer surface of eggs. Dean spoke to me from the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases at the National Institutes of Health. Hello, Dr. Dean. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine Podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's going to be a real pleasure.
How are these beads that you've developed made?
Well, let me just make a point for background, which is that over the last several years, we've been using gene editing in mice to establish a model of gamete recognition in which sperm bind to the N-terminus, the very beginning of ZP2, which is a major component of the zona pellucida that surrounds ovulated eggs. And then following fertilization, this region of ZP2 is clipped off to prevent any more sperm from binding, and this is a major block to polyspermy, which is necessary for the onset of development. So what we've been able to do is to express this region of ZP2 as a recombinant peptide with a tagged end. And that tag allows us to readily attach the peptide to commercially available agarose beads. And in this manner, we can produce significant amounts of mouse ZP2 or human ZP2 peptide beads.
How have you tested those beads in mice, the beads with the mouse ZP2 attached?
Well, so for our initial proof of principle experiments, we performed in vitro fertilization, where we take normal mouse eggs and inseminate them with normal mouse sperm. Now, the presence of the beads alone has no effect on this in vitro fertilization. But in the presence of the ZP2 peptide beads, there's a dramatic decrease in fertilizations to less than 7% of our control mice. And under these experimental conditions, there were no discernible adverse effects on sperm. So we then extended these studies in vivo by transcervical administration of the ZP2 peptide beads into the uteri of mice. And the beads were apparently well tolerated with no obvious adverse effect on female reproductive tracts or mating behavior. And the female mice were mated continuously with males until they produced several litters. And the presence of the ZP2 peptide beads delayed birth of the first litter by more than 6 weeks compared to beads alone control. And although the first litter was smaller, the second litters of the ZP2 peptide bead recipients were comparable to normal mice. So it appears that the administration of the ZP2 peptide beads effectively decoy mouse sperm both in vitro and in vivo. And this effect was long-term, lasting more than 10 estrus cycles, but fully reversible in vivo in our mouse model system.
So how about the agarose beads with the human ZP2 peptide attached? How have you tested those?
We've used a very conceptually similar approach. Now, there's one wrinkle, which is that human sperm are very fastidious, and they do not bind to the mouse zona pellucida and do not fuse with mouse eggs. So we took advantage of a transgenic mouse line in which we had replaced the endogenous mouse CP2 with the corresponding human CP2. And we have reported that human sperm will bind and penetrate through this zona matrix, but they do not fuse or fertilize the mouse eggs. And so using these eggs with partially humanized zona pellucida and human sperm, the presence of the human CP2 peptide beads again dramatically inhibited sperm binding to the surface of the zona and penetration through the matrix.
In the experiments where you implanted the ZP2-coated agarose beads into the uterus of a mouse, what happens to those beads? Did you take them out, or do they eventually degrade? Are they passed out? What happens to them?
Well, the peptide beads themselves are fairly robust, and we did not observe any degradation in our mouse studies. However, the ZP2 peptide beads are lost over time, presumably by normal physiologic discharges from the female reproductive tract. I just want to emphasize that the core concept of these experiments is that the ZP2 peptide can be used to decoy sperm and prevent fertility. And going forward, rather than attachment to beads, it may be much more efficacious to combine the ZP2 peptide with other contraceptive approaches, such as attaching them to spermatocytal sponges or to vaginal rings that have been impregnated with steroid hormones. I think we also have to bear in mind that considerably more work will need to be done to move beyond what we've accomplished in a model system in order to move these concepts from the lab to the clinic. And one needs to be cautious in making this transfer. For example, it's not clear that the ZP2 peptides outside their physiologic contact would be tolerated by the host and could have long-term adverse effects on reproduction.
And how about the reversibility of sperm binding? Is there any indication that the sperm, once bound to the peptide, could come off?
Well, it really depends on your time frame. So what we have found is that initially, if you look in the first 30 minutes, the sperm are bound reversibly. And then after that time period, they become irreversibly bound. And eventually, the sperm, which are initially motile, lose their motility, they lose the integrity of their membranes, and they basically die.
Another possible application of this technology is using it for infertility treatment. How would that work?
Well, again, we would take advantage of this observation that the initial binding is reversible, and this allows us to isolate a cohort of sperm and test them to see whether those sperm that initially bound to the ZP2 peptide beads would be better able to fertilize eggs in vitro or be superior candidates for use in intercytoplasmic sperm injection, which is known as ICSI. So we've established a very simple procedure to isolate the human sperm that reversibly bind to the human CP2 peptide beads, and have documented that these sperm have a superior ability to bind and penetrate through the humanized zona pellucida and could bind to native human zona as well. I think going forward, it's going to be important to validate these observations in a clinical setting. And we hope that investigators with expertise in assisted reproductive technologies will conduct double-blinded studies to compare with other assays the efficacy of human ZP2 peptide beads for improved selection of sperm.
Are you focusing more on developing this technology for use as a contraceptive or more for its use in assisted reproductive technology?
Well, our focus really continues to be on getting a better grasp of the molecular mechanisms of fertilization with the hope of offering better reproductive choices to patients. But our strength lies in exploiting modern technologies to investigate these carefully orchestrated events in model systems. For the foreseeable future, we will focus on discovery research using genome editing and mouse transgenesis to undertake investigations that would be difficult to conduct in patient populations, and we would leave it to others to translate some of our observations into a more practical setting with the ultimate hope that these will be useful for patients.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dean. Thanks for talking with me, and thanks for an interesting paper.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure being here.
That was Jurian Dean from the NIH. You can read his group's paper in the April 27th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.